Everybody think about your house. Now imagine that you're about to lose your house. Some financial troubles happen, something, and you're going to lose it. You have to move out of the house. You with me? Sad thing to think about. What Jesus tells you, what he says at the beginning of the gospel today, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, don't worry. I think there's two ways to interpret that. I think there's the wrong way, and I think there's what I think the right way is. The wrong way to interpret Jesus saying, do not let your hearts be troubled, or to not worry, the wrong way is, don't worry because God would never allow that to happen. You shouldn't worry because Jesus is going to stop you from losing your house. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I don't think that's what he means when he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There's a way to interpret the gospel. It's becoming sort of more popular kind of on TV today. You'll see preachers on TV treating verses like this as if what Jesus really meant was, don't worry, I'm going to give you everything you want, and I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. So I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what the gospel is about. And a shortcut to understanding that is, well, if you want to know whether God allows bad things to happen to those that he loves, well, take a look at Jesus. And just ask, well, did anything bad ever happen to Jesus? And the answer is a very clear yes. And yes, God loves you very much, but he does not love you more than he loves Jesus. So forget about it. Forget about nothing bad happening to you. Even something as bad as losing your house. I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to happen. But I will tell you, let not your hearts be troubled. That's true. Don't worry. But there's another way to understand it. To say that you shouldn't worry because God's not going to let you lose your house, or whatever it is, plug in whatever you want. It could be something much worse than that. To say don't worry because God would never let that happen is really just like applying a painkiller. It's like giving you Vicodin. It'll make you feel better, but it's not actually going to fix it. The symptom, the problem, the issue is not the possibility that something bad might happen. That's not the problem. The problem is your anxiety. That's the real symptom of what's going on inside you. The anxiety is the problem, not the possibility that you might lose your house. The possibility that you might lose your house is built into the fabric of reality. Get over it. But your anxiety is not. Your anxiety is the symptom of the problem. You guys following me? So Christ, he doesn't give us vitamin, he doesn't give us painkillers. He treats the problem. The symptom is anxiety. The symptom is worry. Why? Well, anxiety, Francis de Sales, one of the great writers of the church, says that the worst thing that can happen to the soul, next to sin, sin is the worst thing, but the second worst thing that can happen to the soul is anxiety. Why? Well, it's like poison. It drains our energy. When we're anxious, we just lose all of the power we have to do any good thing. It's paralyzing. It takes away our joy. Takes away our peace. So it's no wonder. And then his friends and disciples continues this, and then once anxiety has really overcome the soul, and it's just really sapped our strength, well, what's the devil going to do next? Now that you're weak, here comes some temptation. He weakens us with anxiety, and then once we're weak, he throws in temptation to make us actually sin. You guys see that? It's a very smart thing to do. So if we're going to be smart, we're going to listen to what Christ says, let not your hearts be troubled. Christ is getting to the root. But still, anxiety is a symptom of a deeper disease. Why are we anxious? We're anxious because we're shallow. I'm very certain that nobody here now will ever be homeless. We have a community that is very tight-knit. That comes with good things and it comes with bad things. We do gossip a lot because we're so tightly knit. But because of that, because of the same reason, the same cause is going to have the effect that we're never going to be homeless. We're always going to have someplace to stay. That's a fact. We might not always live in San Diego, but there are worse things in the world. So why are we so anxious? Why do we get absorbed and like destroyed by so much anxiety so much? It's not because we're actually ever going to become homeless. Where nobody here is going to starve. You just might not have as fancy a house. And that idea is so painful only because we're so attached to such unimportant things. So the root, so the anxiety is a symptom. The disease is this attachment to shallow things. So what's the medicine? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen the Father, and you have seen me, has seen the Father. The medicine is perception, is the ability to see what's actually there. The medicine is the ability to see it with faith. Faith is the medicine. And faith lets us look at a very ordinary looking man named Jesus, to see him and to look at him and to see God. Faith is the medicine. Because if we can just look at an ordinary man and in him see God incarnate, it's a lot easier. Once we do that, once we make that act of faith, to say that the Word became flesh, okay, then maybe a small house can be beautiful. And maybe a simple meal can be delicious. And maybe the same clothes that I wore last year can still be nice. And maybe I'm not going to be so attached to really shiny things. And maybe I'll understand that a regular, free sunrise is actually a lot more beautiful than a fancy show or fireworks. And really, if I can perceive God in this man, Jesus Christ, maybe I'll sort of shift my taste in things. And maybe I'll realize, you know, sometimes the big shiny stuff is actually kind of ugly and it's a little bit tacky. And maybe the simpler stuff really is more beautiful. Or, at the very least, even if I don't get that far, it's not the end of the world if I don't have the fancy stuff. And you know what happens when it's not the end of the world, when you don't have the fancy stuff? You know what's gone? Anxiety is gone. If the fancy stuff doesn't matter anymore, then what do you have to worry about? So it starts with the act of faith. That's the medicine. The act of faith is perfected and it's nurtured here at Mass. And when you can learn to perceive that same Word made flesh in the host that you receive at communion, if you can see that, who cares about anything else? It might be nice, it might be fun, but it's not the end of the world if you don't have it. Because what you do have is the end of the world. You have Christ, the Alpha and the Omega. there and he's living within you. And you don't need a fancy house for that. You don't need anything else if you have that. If you perceive Christ and see the Father.